bring up the topic of generosity in church today, you'll probably get a mixed bag of responses. Hi, I'm Rob West. Some people may tune out, assuming the message is just about funding a special project or covering financial gaps. But giving is about much more than meeting needs. It's about the heart behind it. Today we'll talk about not only why we should give, but also why we shouldn't. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Truth be told, many people don't need more reasons not to give to their church. We should give generously to our local churches and other ministries that advance God's kingdom. Gratitude for the priceless gift of salvation secured by the cross is one of the main reasons to give. However, giving should never be motivated by guilt. Unfortunately, many Christians have been influenced by messages of legalism or the prosperity gospel, which suggests that failing to give a certain amount equates to stealing from God or forfeiting His blessings. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." This verse highlights that giving should stem from a willing and joyful heart, not from guilt or obligation. It's also helpful to understand the difference between guilt and conviction. Guilt, accompanied by shame, comes from the enemy and draws us away from Christ, while conviction comes from the Holy Spirit and guides us closer to Him. Hebrews 10:22 speaks to this truth. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Thanks to Christ's sacrifice, we're freed from the burden of a guilty conscience. While we may feel convicted to live more faithfully, we shouldn't be weighed down by guilt that drives us away from God's grace. If guilt is your primary motivation for giving, it's better to pause and prayerfully examine your heart before moving forward. The second reason not to give to your church is that you want to control what the church does. In some churches, members use their giving to exert influence over leadership decisions. They may designate funds for specific ministries while withholding support from the general budget. Often, this is a silent way of expressing disagreement with the pastor or church's direction. This approach not only creates division, but also reveals a lack of generosity. Giving with strings attached reduces it to a transaction rather than an act of worship. Worse, withholding funds as a form of protest effectively holds the body of Christ hostage, prioritizing personal preferences over the greater mission of the church. If your heart is not in the right place, it's better to keep your money than to give it grudgingly or manipulatively. Faithful giving reflects trust in God's sovereignty and a desire to support His work, even when we don't fully agree with every decision made by church leadership. The final reason not to give is that you feel better about yourself when you give. Of course, there's a difference between feeling joyful about giving and using generosity as a way to elevate oneself. Jesus addressed this issue in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. The Pharisee's prayer reveals his self-righteousness. "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." The Pharisee's giving was not a response to God's grace, but a way to showcase his own moral superiority. In contrast, the tax collector humbled himself, acknowledging his need for God's mercy. Jesus commended the tax collector, not the Pharisee, illustrating that God values humility and sincerity over self-promotion. If your giving is motivated by pride or a desire to gain recognition, it's time to reassess. True generosity stems from gratitude for God's blessings, not from a desire to earn status or approval. To cultivate a heart of biblical generosity, Dr. Art Rayner provides a helpful biblical framework for us to follow. Giving should be a priority. Giving should be sacrificial. Lastly, giving should be cheerful. Before giving, take time to reflect on your motivations. Are you giving out of gratitude, joy, and a desire to honor God? Or are guilt, control, or pride influencing your decision? Remember, your heart matters far more to God than the size of your gift. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On this day in 368 AD, the French bishop, a man named Hilary of Poitiers, passed into glory. He was one of the earliest hymn writers and a courageous defender of the truth about the deity of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches clearly that Jesus is both true God and true man, which is so important. Only God could have taken upon himself the sins of the world, yet only a man could die on behalf of humanity. Jesus in his love has done both. He's our great God and Savior. As Titus 2 reminds us, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
When you begin to worship and praise God, you become very much aware of His magnificent greatness. And all of a sudden, the things that are going on in your life begin to pale into insignificance when you see them in comparison to God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Hope, an Anchor for Life, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, it's almost time to take your calls and questions here in just a moment, but it's right now the best time to call to get in that queue. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today and tackle whatever is on your mind financially. Lines are open. We're ready for you. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we dive into those calls, in the news today, the fourth quarter estimated tax deadline for 2024 is Wednesday, 2 days from now. So if you're a business owner or a 1099 worker, missing a payment could trigger unexpected penalties and fees when you get around to filing your 2024 return. Because this would be the fourth quarter estimated payment for 2024, even though you're paying it here in 2025. Now, if you're a W-2 employee or retired and you think you may not have had enough income tax withheld, then you can avoid penalties by making a payment before the Wednesday deadline as well. It's also possible to owe fourth quarter estimated taxes for year-end bonuses, stock dividends, and even capital gains from mutual fund payouts, according to the IRS. If you have income from any of those things, you can download the 1040ES with an estimate tax voucher at irs.gov. It actually also has a helpful worksheet for figuring out your estimated tax. So again, this Wednesday is that deadline for getting in your fourth quarter estimated taxes without penalty. A good idea. And by the way, a lot of folks who are new in the gig economy, or perhaps you picked up some work, you've never been a 1099 worker, you've always been W-2. This is not something you've had to think about typically. And so this is something that needs to be on your radar. We don't want those penalties and fees and interest by not paying on a timely basis. All right, we're going to dive into your phone calls today. By the way, coming up in a little later in our broadcast, Bob Dahl will stop by with his market commentary. But in the meantime, let's go to Pennsylvania and welcome Sherry to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, so I am wrapping up a 3-year journey of cleaning out my parents' estate. It's got me thinking about different things. My aunt and uncle decided to put their children's names on their property deed so that a nursing home can't come back and claim that. And I'm wondering if that's a wise choice to do that or not.
Yeah, it's a good question. Tell me a little bit about the situation. So who is it that is considering this?
Well, I'm thinking whether it would be a good idea for my husband and I to do the same thing.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
So generally, the primary residence is exempt in most cases. So this would be something to talk to an estate planning attorney about. You would want to avoid putting your children's names on the deed just for tax purposes, because if they receive it by way of you just quit claim deeding it to them, so they become, essentially it would be a gift and you'd have to report it, even though there would likely not be any tax due, the IRS would consider it a gift. But then they're going to inherit your original cost basis, as opposed to receiving it as an inheritance where they get what's called a stepped up cost basis. And that just simply allows the cost basis that you paid for it originally to go away. The new cost basis for capital gains tax purposes is now stepped up to the market value as of the date of death. And so that's a real benefit if they're going to turn around and sell it either right away or in the future, just because they wouldn't have all of the capital gains. Let's say you've bought it a long time ago, a lot less expensive than the market value today. So I think that would be the key here. Medicaid, which would kick in once your assets are spent down, typically excludes your primary residence as a countable asset. If you intend it to go to a spouse, and Medicaid places a home equity limit, and it varies by state, but it's usually between $700,000 and about $1 million on exempt properties. So I think as a part of just your overall estate planning, it would be worth talking to an attorney about, how you want to think about Medicaid. You could even connect with an elder law attorney who specializes in Medicaid and elder law to provide guidance that's tailored to your situation, your assets and income, the state laws, they're in Pennsylvania as well, because, again, it does vary, and they could advise you on how to structure your assets. You could also look at long-term care insurance as a way to try to offset that cost. But I think bottom line is, nursing home itself can't take your home. Medicaid or creditors might place claims against it for unpaid nursing home care. But with, proper planning, I think you can certainly protect that. And I think that's your next step. Do you all have a relationship with an estate attorney, perhaps somebody who's done your will or something like that?
Well, I'm still dealing with the attorneys that are wrapping up my parents' estate. So, yes, I could easily ask that question to them.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the other tool that is often used is what's called an irrevocable trust. So this is a way where you're essentially giving away ownership to it. I think the bottom line and what you need to understand is the state certainly can go after the house after the owner passes away. and the estate may have to sell it to repay Medicaid nursing home benefits if that's what it came down to, and you all needed Medicaid to step in and cover those costs. So there is a recovery there, and that's where, you know, perhaps looking at whether, you know, you all would be exempt from that depending on the situation, or whether an irrevocable trust or some other means, you know, would be effective for you to put in place. But generally, the best option is not just to add the kids to the deed for the reasons that I mentioned.
Great. Okay. Well, someone did tell me that a nursing home does have a dollar amount that you have to meet before you even qualify to be able to, you know, move in.
Well, if what they might be talking about is Medicaid has an asset and an income limit before they would begin to pay. Depending on the nursing home, you know, they would want to know that if you're going to be paying out of pocket, that and let's say they don't accept Medicaid, then they're going to want to know you have sufficient assets to be able to, you know, cover those costs, and often you will have to document that. But if you're going to be relying on Medicaid after your assets are spent down, not including your home and any other excludable assets that would be perhaps covered after you and your husband pass away, then, you know, they would just want to understand the income and asset limits where Medicaid would kick in.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the insight.
All right, Sherry, thanks for your call. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with anything on your mind in your financial life. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Let's see. Let's head to North Carolina. James, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Hope everything's going well with you today.
Yes, sir.
So I recently opened up a handyman company.
Okay.
I'll give you a little backstory before that.
Let's do this. I apologize. I wasn't watching the clock as closely as I should have. We're going to up against a break here, so I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. When we come back, I'll get you to give us your story and a little background, and then I'll see if I can weigh in and give you some help. So hang right there. Lines are open. We've got room for you today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. Here's our goal: help you see God as your ultimate treasure, apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'll be right back with much more after this. Stick around.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. Before the break, we said hello to James. James, tell us what's going on in your life and how I can help.
All right. So about a year ago, I had a landscaping company. I kind of ran it into the ground because, you know, I took my foot off the gas and I took my eyes off Christ. So about a year, about almost a year has passed, back following Christ daily, devoted my entire life to him again. And then devoted my brand new handyman company to him as well. But I need help with trying to figure out how to manage the money in my company. And I'm just looking for resources to be a better steward of my money, or God's money that he's allowing me to manage in this company. I just don't know where to step, what direction to go in.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. First of all, I'm delighted to hear about your walk with the Lord and you rededicating your life there. I hope you're a part of a Bible-believing and teaching church that you can get plugged into and really engage in. I think perhaps even just looking for a community of other business owners that you could maybe be a part of. You know, there's a lot of different organizations that provide, you know, whether it's a monthly small group that you might meet with or just some other folks in your same season of life and position in terms of operating a small business that you could learn a ton from just being alongside others who are really asking the same questions and trying to do the same thing you are just for encouragement. In terms of, you know, how you need to think about your finances, you know, I think the biggest issue that I run into with regard to, you know, maintaining a profitable and stress-free small business is, first of all, just separating your personal and business finances. So you're going to want to make sure that for that handyman business, you've got a separate business bank account, a dedicated checking account for all business income and expenses. You know, perhaps get a business credit card that you're only using exclusively for, you know, business-related purchases, just to keep everything separate. So primarily for tax purposes, you're able to clearly delineate and defend before the IRS what is truly a business expense and what isn't. This is also going to be important for you to figure out, you know, how the business is doing and really evaluate, you know, whether or not it's something that is ultimately going to be sustainable for you financially, and having those good books will really be key. Obviously, establishing a budget both on the personal side and the business side, projecting monthly income based on the average job size and frequency, and accounting for fixed costs like insurance and licensing, or variable costs like, you know, fuel and materials. You know, perhaps setting profit goals, all that would be a part of it. And then perhaps using a fairly simple but effective accounting package, some software like QuickBooks or, you know, FreshBooks or one of those that can automate invoicing and expense tracking and financial reporting. And then, you know, you're going to want to save receipts. You can use one of the apps like Expensify or Ramp, but you're going to want to scan and organize your expenses by category just to maintain a really effective business. And then manage your taxes. This is going to be another, you know, key part as you track your tax deductible expenses like vehicle expenses or, you know, tools and equipment, things like that. Set aside money for taxes. So you don't want to get caught not having the money, and you're going to want to go ahead and send in those quarterly estimated payments. I think another key piece could be, James, is connecting with a CPA or accountant, somebody who's familiar with small businesses that can help you maximize deductions and ensure you're compliant. They can also help you set up your books and get a good system for, you know, invoicing and managing cash flow. And then I would say, finally, you know, you really want to think about insuring your business, general liability, and then additional coverage, depending on, you know, the kind of work you're doing. And then once you get all that, you know, in place and you have some surplus, then we're going to want to get you, you know, putting some money away for a retirement. So a SEP IRA, SEP, or a solo 401k or a simple IRA could be a way for you to get up and running and start to sock some money away. But, you know, hopefully that gets you pointed in the right direction. Is that helpful, though?
Yeah, I just got one more question. Have you ever heard of a pay yourself first system? Do you think that is a biblically sound system?
Yeah, I mean, describe what you mean by that when you say pay yourself first. I think I absolutely do agree, but I want to make sure I understand what you mean.
So instead of expenses plus materials equals profit, so whatever's left is the profit that I keep. And instead, at the beginning, I take the profits first, put them in a separate bank account, and then I run the company off of what is left.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have a separate account for taxes that's hidden away. It's a savings account with 5% interest, 5% APY.
Yeah, and then, yeah, exactly.
And then just
yeah, so that can be
first, and then really run the company.
Sure, that can be really effective because it prioritizes your well-being, which is good. It ensures that your personal and financial expenses are covered. It establishes kind of some rhythms and some discipline, you know, and it I think can be really helpful. It's challenging, though, when you have a new small business just because you're trying to get up and running and you've got a lot of, you know, startup costs and you maybe don't have your clientele in place yet. But, I mean, ideally, yes, you would set a reasonable salary or draw based on your living expenses, you know, establish a separate account for your pay. So you'd transfer your pay into a personal account, just as you would for a W-2 employee paycheck. And you can automate those transfers and you'd want to, you know, plan around business cash flow. So you'd want to think about any seasonality that you have. So you're setting aside during high revenue months to cover the leaner months. And then you want to account for taxes and, as I said, ultimately retirement contributions. But yeah, I mean, if you could get into that rhythm right now, that would be great. In some cases, you may need to give yourself a little bit more time. The key would be, does the business have enough cash flow to cover its operating expenses and make sure that you're not, you know, incurring any debt or neglecting, you know, any kind of investments in the business like marketing? But I think if you could get into that rhythm, absolutely, that would be a great idea. Let's do this. Hang on the line. I'm going to send you a book called Business by the Book. It's a classic from Larry Burkett, and I think it'll get you pointed in the right direction. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'll get to as many questions as we can between now and the end of the broadcast. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Sherry. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead. Sherry, can you hear me? All right, we'll see if we can get Sherry on the line, and our team will work on that. Let's go to Maryland in the meantime. Hi, Pam. Go right ahead.
Good morning. So my question is this. I have, I currently am working, and I plan on working for another 5 years. My husband is retiring at the end of January, and we have decided to not pull his Social Security yet. He will be 65 in July. And just live off of my salary and try and wait until he is 67 or perhaps even 70 before we pull his Social Security so that it's a larger monthly amount. But then I heard someone say that we should probably be drawing it now, and since we don't need it, we should turn around and invest it, and that ultimately we would be further ahead if we invested it and took it now. So I was just looking for some guidance on that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Pam. You know, I'm a fan of waiting if you don't need the money. So in a situation like you're in where, you know, you all have your expenses covered, the benefit of waiting is you're going to get about 8% a year guaranteed. And although there's a potential for you to do better if you were to take that money now and invest it, you're certainly not going to find anything that pays an 8% guaranteed rate of return. And so, I think for you to go ahead and delay this until full retirement age and get that full benefit, yes, there's going to be some time that's required for you all to make up what you have not received by delaying it in the form of a higher check. But once you get beyond that point, you will be money ahead for the rest of your life. And so, typically for somebody who, they wait until age 70 versus full retirement age, it usually takes about 10 years to 12 years to get paid back for what they didn't receive during those 36 months. In order to then be money ahead with a check that's about 25% higher for the rest of their lives. And with most, 65-year-olds living to between 82 and 83 on average, men and women, time is on your side. If you're in relatively good health, I think the same would apply here for you. You're probably talking about 10 years, maybe a little less. The difference between taking it at 65 versus waiting until 67, full retirement age, in terms of you being paid back for those 24 months of benefits you didn't receive, and then being able to enjoy that higher check as kind of a base for your financial life, you know, from that point forward. So generally speaking, although, you know, we don't know what we don't know about what, you know, you might be able to do with that money if you were to take it now and invest it, I just kind of like this idea of an 8% guaranteed return in a sense. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. That's what, I mean, I was leaning towards that, but then I heard, you know, someone talking about the investment and I thought, it got me thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm glad you're thinking about it. The good news is you guys are in a situation where you don't need the money, and so we might as well let that grow. And that would be, I think, a great option for you down the road. So the other factor here is that, you know, if you all still are working, you know, you may have a higher portion of the Social Security that's taxable now because you have other income versus you waiting until a season where maybe you have less income, which means there's a, you know, perhaps a lower amount of the Social Security benefits that would actually be taxable. And so there's another benefit there.
Good point. Thank you very much. I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Absolutely, Pam. Lord bless you. Thanks for calling today. Let's head back to Texas. Sherry, I think we've got you now. How can I help you?
Yes, you do. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry?
I said, yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
My husband took early retirement. He's 62, so he's not getting Medicare, but he does get his retirement check. I had been on disability for several years, so I get a disability check. We are selling our house in order to pay it off and pay our debts off. Then we're planning on purchasing a houseboat. After we do all that, we're going to have probably about $75,000 or so left over. And we're going to want to be able to survive on our retirement income. Plus, we'd like to be able to utilize the money we have left over in a way that would allow us to use it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Or the best possible way.
Yes. Yes. Makes sense. So you think after everything's paid, you're going to have about $75,000 left over. And what will be your income source at that point?
We get about, what do we get, Mike? About $2,400 a month?
Between the two of us, we get about
We get about $2,500 a month right now.
Okay.
That's just with our checks.
Okay. And is that enough to live on currently? And have you run, have you run a new budget just based on what you think your expenses will be once you transition to the houseboat and you don't have a mortgage?
We've got about, it would be about $9,000 a year for the slip. And then you will have, that includes, water and things like that. Electricity would be separate, so it would just be based on what we would use there. Right now, we paid off our truck and we paid off. By the time we move, we'll have all our debts paid.
Okay. So you all believe you'd be able to live on and cover all of your expenses just based on your two checks, correct?
We could, but it would be hard.
Okay.
It would be, you know, we don't want to be iffy with anything. We want to be able to have a little extra coming in for anything like Christmas or any kind of things that we might find out that we need, medical issues that may occur.
Yes.
We just want to have that little backup.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so unfortunately, you don't have any earned income, so you're not able to put this into a retirement account like an IRA. So you're limited on getting this into a tax efficient environment. So you've got a couple of options. You could just invest it in a taxable account, get an advisor who could work with you to build an investment strategy where, you know, you're not taking unnecessary risk. You're putting this to work. Maybe you're prioritizing with the stock portion of the investments, income generating stocks like dividend paying stocks. You'd have obviously a healthy portion in fixed income type investments like bonds, whether corporate or government bonds, which will do well as interest rates come down over the next few years. So that's option one. The second option is you could look at putting it into an annuity. This is not my typical go-to just because they're a little more complex and expensive, but given your situation where you're going to have a lump sum and you're looking for income in a tax-efficient environment, the annuity can be a great option because you don't have that requirement to have an earned income amount. And, you know, you could get you could drop that lump sum in, and then the insurance company could give you an immediate income stream, payments for life. So that could be a great option. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay right there.
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are his hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got room for a few more here before we round out the broadcast today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Sherry. She and her husband are selling their home. They're going to pay off all of their debts. They're moving to a houseboat. They'll be able to cover their expenses, especially once everything's paid off, with their two monthly checks totaling about $2,500 a month. But they could use a little bit more to supplement their income, and just wondering what that might look like in terms of taking the amount they'll have left over, somewhere, you know, a little less than $100,000, and putting that to work. And Sherry, I was saying, because you don't have earned income, you can't put it into an IRA. You're not working, so it's not like you could, you know, begin to defer it through salary deferral into a 401k or something like that. So you are limited in your options. I mean, you could, if you have a high deductible health plan, you could get, you know, get it into an HSA, some portion of it, and then use it down the road for medical expenses. You could invest it in a taxable account, but every time you or the advisor buys or sells something, you'd have short-term or long-term capital gains. The other option, just based on what you're describing to me, would be an annuity. Although these typically aren't my first choice, I think in this situation, it could make some sense. So, for instance, you could take $75,000 and, you know, let's say you're both 65. I don't think we talked about your age, but if you were to drop $75,000 into a fixed annuity, an immediate annuity where it immediately converts to an income stream on a joint life. So that means it pays out, you know, for the rest of your life and your spouse, and it would continue until you're both deceased. $75,000, I'm just estimating here, could be, you know, $400 a month, let's say, with a joint and survivor annuity. So it would continue during your lifetime, and that $75,000 could add another, you know, $400 a month to that $2,500, and, you know, that could be the difference, and you could even add some inflation protection, and you know, it could even be a period certain, ensuring payments are made to heirs if both of you were to pass away for at least 10 or 20 years. And so that would be an option, I think, where you could have that additional guaranteed income for the rest of your lives, which might give you the confidence to know, okay, at least we know we've got this amount coming in, you know, and we feel good about that really covering everything we need from this point forward. The only other thing might be, you know, if you needed long-term care that went beyond your monthly income, and you'd have to either get a long-term care insurance policy or rely on Medicaid for that if you don't have other assets. Does that all make sense, though?
Yeah, it does. And I do like the idea of the annuity. My mother suggested a money market account. I wanted to see, get your opinion on that as well.
Yeah, the challenge with that is, you know, money market rates have been, you know, very attractive, but they're going to be coming down. You know, so, I mean, I think right now, you know, you've with your typical money market account today, you know, you're maybe getting, you know, 4.75%, I think, kind of a, the best case scenario. And, you know, they're going to be falling as interest rates come down. We'll, I don't think it'll be long before we're below 4% down in the threes. And some of them are already at 3.5%. And the other challenge is all of that's going to be taxable. That interest will be taxable to you. So although that's on the most conservative end in terms of safety, I just am not sure if that's, you know, going to meet your needs in terms of what you're looking for. I mean, if you get, let's say 4%, that's $3,000 a year, which is only $250 a month, and that's before tax. So I think that's where, you know, the annuity could be a little better, even though you're locking up the money. You know, you might have some option for some, you know, the ability to take some out over some percentage of it in a 12-month period. Whereas with the money market, you've got full access to the money. You're just not going to get as much on a monthly basis.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, is to keep it locked up. That way we have that as a monthly income addition. So I like that idea, and I appreciate your insight on that and your in your help.
Happy to do it, Sherry. If you all don't have an advisor, somebody who could walk through all this with you beyond just the short time we have on the radio here today, and kind of look at your total financial picture, and then even look at, you know, different types of products, because annuities are not all created equal. I mean, there's a lot of fine print, and you just need to make sure you're getting one that, you know, is, you know, focused on getting you the most money possible, not paying a lot of fees and commissions to the agent. I would connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas. There's a lot of great CKAs. You can head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it says find a professional. You could do a zip code search and find several CKAs in your area. Just tell them, you know, your situation. They'll do some planning with you. And I think they can help you strategize around the best way to get, you know, convert this lump sum to a guaranteed income stream.
Okay, so it's faith.com, okay.
Yeah, faithfi, faithfi.com, and then click find a professional. Oh. Faithfi.
Faithfi. Okay,
yes.
.com. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your help today.
Absolutely, Sherry. All the best to you and your husband. Hey, tell me a little bit more about this houseboat. It sounds fabulous.
They, a lot of people are surprised, because, and we were too, with the pictures we looked at, because they have, some of them have 6 estate rooms with a full kitchen and everything. And then some of them have, it just depends on how many bedrooms you want. And some of them are really immaculate. Just, you know, it's just, wow.
Yeah. I can imagine.
We had thought about that. Yeah. You know, we had thought about it when we lived in Florida, about 10 years ago. And we just never really, you know, looked any further into it until now. And we just thought, wow, let's just do our retirement like this, because it's something we wanted. We love the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kentucky is one of the best states to have a houseboat in.
That sounds amazing. Well, listen, all the best to you and your husband. If I can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Lord bless you guys. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. If you've got a question today, I probably have room for perhaps one more before we round out the broadcast. Again, that number to call right now with your financial questions, 800-525-7000. Quickly, before we round out the show today, I want to mention this is a really important week for us. It's our AFR preborn week. What is preborn, you ask? Well, preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. Here's the reality. You know, by letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is doubled. And preborn has done some amazing work, and we're so honored to be partnered with them here at American Family Radio. Listen to this. Since 2007, preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the U.S., providing these life-saving ultrasounds. More than 300,000 babies' lives have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ as a part of the counseling to over a half a million women that were considering abortion in a preborn partner clinic. That's over the last 18 years. And so we'd like to ask for your partnership in that. Basically, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And that gives the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 would provide five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five men, women with the message of life. Perhaps you could consider five ultrasounds even today. We're even asking for some of you to consider a leadership gift of even as much as $5,000 that would sponsor ultrasounds for the entire preborn network of clinics for one day that's helping to rescue 200 babies. If you'd like to learn more, there's a phone number to call. That number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or if you want to donate securely and quickly, just head over to AFR.net. You'll see a link right there at the top of the page. That's AFR.net. And you will see our preborn project. And we're looking for your partnership this week. And we can't wait to celebrate what God's going to do this week as you partner alongside us. That's preborn. It's all week. You'll be hearing us talk about it. Well, folks, as we round out the broadcast today, first of all, thank you for your time, for tuning in and listening to the broadcast each day. I'm grateful for your questions and your testimonies, because here's the reality. You know, my experience in doing this for a long time is that our financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes our spiritual journey. Now, you might say, how is that, Rob? Well, here's the reality is, you know, the way we handle God's money is one of the most tangible expressions of what we value and where we've placed our trust. And it's that daily demonstration of how we're going to allocate God's resources. And ultimately, these are heart issues. You know, money is just symptomatic of heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we know that our heart follows our money. And so we want to be thinking about the story we're telling with regard to what's most important to us. And if our spending doesn't align with that, well, perhaps it's time here at the start of a new year to take a step back and say, you know what? Maybe I need to take another look at my budget. Maybe I want to be doing more, giving more, saving more, blessing the people on my path, using money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, not spending so much on interest on the debt I've accumulated. Well, each day we want to help you make steps in that direction so you can give generously and hold God's money loosely and live simply. And it's a real honor to be able to come alongside you. By the way, lots of great resources at our website, faithfi.com. Not only can you find a certified Kingdom advisor, but you can click on the button there at the top of the page that says app and learn about the FaithFi app and how we can actually help you put in place a spending plan, even a system to manage your money using the envelope system and a modern digital expression. It's all there in the FaithFi app. You can download it today at faithfi.com. Big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, Sandy Dickinson, and everybody here at FaithFi. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.